Welcome to Johnny and Friends Family Retreat Online. What a strange thing this is to be doing this online. It's day number 2. Changed my shirt. What a strange world we're living in, doing all these things online and offline. But I'm happy to be here with you today. Our prayer is that God would indeed show us the wonders of his love. We're looking at Psalm 17. Today we're going to particularly look at verse 7. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings. The yearning that David expresses here is the yearning that many of us feel deeply, and we feel it deeply every day, that God would show us his love. I think there are 4 great themes that we can pick out of Psalm 17, verse 7, that God would show us the wonders of his love, that he would show us the wonders of his great love, that we would come to see that he is the one who saves, and that he does this by his right hand. So I want you to learn today, and in today's Bible study, how deeply God loves you and how much he shows that love to you. First of all, God's love is full of wonders. It's a very beautiful word that he uses to describe the love of God. Wondrously show your love, show the wonders of your love. There's nothing ordinary about the love of God. It is, in a sense, wonderful. And the biblical use of that word, wonder, is the same as the word miracle. The love of God is miraculous. Now, I know that many of you have prayed for, and maybe you are praying for a miracle in your life, for God to do something that's wondrous, something that's out of all ordinary course of life. Out of a broken heart, you're crying to God. But remember today that the love of God itself is a miracle. The love of God is a wonder. His love for you and his love for your children is one of the wonders of his love. Because the more you think about it, the more his love brings you face to face with Jesus Christ. Show me the wonders of your love. David's not the first person to think about that in that particular way. And in fact, many of the things that he says in this verse have already been said in the Bible. And they were said earlier by Moses in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verses 11 to 13 uses very similar words. Who is a God like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? Awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders. There's the very same word. You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them, that's the Egyptians. You led in your steadfast love, that's the same word as great love, the people whom you have redeemed or saved. You've guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The thing that David is reflecting on about the wonders of God's love is the very thing that Moses reflected on, the wonders of God's love, when God brought the people out of Egypt and redeemed them, rescued them. Or to think about the wonders of God's love, is the psalmist uses the same word in Psalm 139, words you know very well. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Show the wonders of your love means that to be loved by God is simply miraculous. I think that's why I liked Eugene Peterson's translation in the Message of God painting grace graffiti on the fences. Because only God paints grace graffiti on fences. You know, I think I might change Eugene Peterson's wording a little bit, that God would paint his grace graffiti not simply on the fence, but that God would paint his grace graffiti on you and on me. It's important for us to remember that we need that grace graffiti painted on us, because sin has vandalized the image of God in all of us, every one of us. But the grace of God, the love of God in Jesus Christ, begins to restore the image of God. And he restores the image of God in us fuller and fuller every day, until we reach that wondrous day when, like at the end of the psalm, we see him. And seeing him, then we become like him. God's love is wondrous. It's not simply that I'm amazed by the love of God, but that he has done miraculous things. It's not simply that I'm amazed that his love is miraculous, but that his love is indeed miraculous. There's a wonder to what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we sing it at Christmas in that wonderful hymn, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. The fourth verse, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love. That's what we're talking about. The wonders of God's love. Sing it, and sing it today. Doesn't matter that it's the summer. Sing. So here's the first thing, the wonders of God's love. Then we're going to look at, secondly, the greatness of that love. Show the wonders of your great love. God's love is miraculous, and God's love also is very great. The Hebrew word that's translated as great love is translated in very many different ways in the Bible. The Hebrew word is chesed, and it's translated in translations of the Bible and the versions of the Bible in different ways. Sometimes it's translated as love. Sometimes it's translated as loving kindness. Sometimes it's translated as steadfast love or mercy. It's not an easy word to pin down because there's so much involved in it. An old Scotsman of yesteryear, like an old Scotsman, George Adam Smith, suggested that we translate this word that's here, God's great love, that we translate it as leal love, L-E-A-L. That doesn't really help, does it? No, I didn't think that would help, so I'll move on. Another way that you might translate this word that refers to God's love is in the Shakespearean way, his troth, T-R-O-T-H. You know how Shakespeare, by my troth, and you know, things like that. But we use that. That's the word that comes in our English word for betrothal, that I have given my troth by trust and oath. I promise to love you. It's a betrothal, a promise to love, a promise and pledge of loyalty, a promise and pledge of fidelity. By my troth, I have sworn. Now, that I think is helpful, because that's the kind of love that God shows us. It's a wonder of a love, but it's a wonder and it's a miracle because God has betrothed himself to us. He has committed himself to loving us and to continuing to love us. It's almost as though in the psalm, David is saying, show me the wonders of your love, your great love. It's almost as though he's saying, you promised that you would love me. And he's calling on God to show that love. You know, you can do that. You can say that. You can call on God to be loyal to his love. It's one thing to hear God ask you, like he asked Peter, do you love me? But it's another thing for you to go in prayer to God and say, God, do you love me? You promised that you would. Maybe that's where you are, praying for God to show the wonders of his love, praying out of a broken heart that God would prove his love to you, that God would prove his love to your children. He does love you. He does. And he promised and committed himself to that love. again. David's not the first person to say it. It was already said by Moses in that verse we quoted earlier, Exodus chapter 15, verses 11 to 13, who is like you among the gods, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders. You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed the Egyptians. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. In other words, this is always the way that God acts. He gave his troth that he would love you. He will. He will love you. We're praying for God to show us the wonders of his love. We're praying for God to be true to his love, since he promised that he would, that he'll be loyal in his love. The prayer also is a reminder on a prayer that God will do what he said he would, that he'll save us. You who save is a reminder to us that this is who our God is and that this is what our God does. That our God is the Savior and that our God saves. When the psalmist uses this little phrase, you who save, or speaking of God as the Savior, he's using a Hebrew word that is the root word of the name Joshua. Yeheshua means salvation. God is the one who brings salvation. And the Hebrew name Yehoshua, Joshua, in its Greek equivalent, is Jesus. The name of Jesus, if it was a Hebrew name, is Joshua. Remember the angel announcing that you will call his name Jesus? Why will you call his name Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sin. And Moses reflected the very same thing in that same passage in Exodus chapter 15. He uses a slightly different word, but it's the same idea. For you are the one who redeems the people whom you have redeemed. When you find yourself praying for God to show his wonders and the wonders of his love, praying for God to be true to his promised love, to be loyal. He swore and gave his word that he would keep it, and he has done so in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I remind you that what you're really praying for is for the Lord Jesus to do his work amongst us, for the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. You're acknowledging that we need a Savior. We need a Savior to save us from the horror and depravity of our own sinful selves and all that that sin calls from the hand of God. We need a Savior. And God himself is the Savior and has provided the Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So believe that gospel truth. Take the Savior that's freely offered to you and trust him. Show me the wonders of your love, the wonders of your great, steadfast love, you who save. And then the fourth and final thought that comes from this particular verse is that God is the one who saves by his right hand. It's a strange phrase. Why would we speak of God's right hand? Well, because in that way of speaking, to do something with your right hand is to do it with dexterity. It's not really a comment on being left-handed or right-handed. It's just the way we use language, that when you do something with your right hand, more or less, it's a description of dexterity and power and ability. Save with your right hand means save with all your power and all your ability. The Latin word for right is the word dexter. And we're calling for God to save us, but we're calling for God to save us with all that power, to do it in a dexterous kind of way. Here's a picture of the great seal of the United States of America, this great country in which we live. And from this picture of the great seal of the United States, you can see an eagle, and there's a left-hand side and a right-hand side. And the eagle is clutching an olive branch in its right side, the dexter side. And it's clutching arrows in the left side. And that indicates, that great seal indicates that these United States will use their power and their strength and their dexterity for peace. That's why the olive branch is in the right hand. But you can see there's a sinister side too, because in that left talon are arrows. We can make war. Now what I'm trying to say is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he too has used all his great power to save us. He does so by making war against sin and Satan and death and hell. But he uses his power to save us, to bring peace to our lives, to bring the peace of God that passes all understanding. And he does it because his love is loyal, full of mercy, full of grace to us. But again, David's not the first person to think that. It was already thought and put in words by Moses back in Exodus chapter 15, where in verse 12 he says, "You stretched out your right hand." That means God let loose his power. He let loose his power in the Exodus. He let loose his power on the cross. That's what God does. He's our Savior who saves by his right hand. So your prayer then is, O Lord, do it again. Stretch out your right hand again, like you did at the Exodus, leading the people free, so that they skipped and sang the praises of God. Do it again, like you did it at Calvary, when Jesus Christ died and when he rose again from the dead, when you stretched out your right hand to save us, body and soul. Remember what God can do when he stretches out his hand to save. I suppose we should remember what the Lord Jesus Christ himself can do when he says that I can do this with my little finger. Don't you pray for God to let loose the power of his right hand? But you know the power of Christ's little finger, that can change your life forever too. That's our prayer today. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand. Let's pray. Father, you are full of mercy, and we thank you for the wonders of your love shown in the Exodus, but shown more profoundly in the death and resurrection of Jesus. So still our hearts, still our souls, redeem us this day and fill us with the songs of praise that Jesus Christ is worthy to receive, the Lord, our Savior. Save us, rescue us, show us your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.